Welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. Hello, this is Dr. Stephen Nurse, and I've lived on the island for quite a few years, retired now, and trying to do some things to give back to the community. This program has to do with disabilities. My background is in social work and teaching special education to graduate students. And so future topics could be on any area of disability. One of the things that I'm really interested in right now is how to provide services to kids with special needs, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy in this online world of COVID. So on the VOV website where it talks about my show, it's got my email address. If you have questions, I'd be glad to respond. If you have suggestions for future programs, I'd also be glad to do that. Today, also with me is Jenna Risdahl, who has experience in therapy dogs. But our topic for today, we're really going to be talking about some of the health benefits. I mean, we're talking actual health benefits that a dog brings to your life. I think that's, we're talking about physical changes in humans, as well as mental changes in humans. And with, you know, one of the things that Jenna does with the therapy dogs is really falls right into that. She works probably more from the mental health as opposed to the physical health, but do they both kind of fall in line there?
They actually do, because you can work with a therapy dog in a setting where you're helping someone who may have a physical disability. You're helping them maybe in physical therapy or occupational therapy. You can use therapy dogs in that way. You can help sedentary adults who need to get out more, and you go for a walk with them. So you can help them physically too.
Yes, I try not to be a sedentary adult, but sometimes it's tougher in these times when you're in all the time. You know, one of the things I want to talk to people about is, have you ever noticed that when you're around a pet, when you're around an animal, you just feel better? And I think it's true that spending quality time with a dog, a cat, or other animal can have a positive impact on your mood and your health. Pets can be calming stress fighters. I remember when I worked downtown Seattle, I would come home after being on a bus and being on a ferry, and especially in the fall when it's dark by 4 o'clock. And here would be my dog. My dog would come out there and meet me at the door and wag their tail and demand more of you, but that was okay. That was really good. We found that pet owners, on average, were better off than non-owners, especially when they have a high quality relationship with their pets. And I think we're talking about bonding with a pet. My service dog Maya, she, whatever strange reason, likes to watch me shave every morning. So she's on the bath mat in the restroom, or, you know, she's watching me shave. And then she knows we go out to the next room, and she spends some time in her kennel. But she really has those expectations and really wants to be with me. And I know, Jenna, you've got, you've had numerous dogs, but Rain now, and you have two dogs, right?
And Fox.
Rain and Fox. Mm-hmm. And again, isn't that bond special?
that bond is overwhelmingly special in my life. And just as Steve said, you know, dogs watch you. They're very habitual and they like it when you are habitual and do the same things. They know if I brush my teeth and wash my face that we're probably going to go somewhere. And then they are watching me very focused. And as soon as I move out of the room I'm in, they're ready to go. It's like, okay, now we're going to go and do something. But just that specialness of giving your dog a hug or putting your face up against their face, it just does something mentally and physically that is indescribable.
Yes. And I think that with my other service dog, Ellen, she knew that when I got up and got out of bed in the morning and my wife helped me back into my wheelchair, you know, when she would pull me back, we'd go 1, 2, 3, and she'd pull me back. And Ellen, on that clue, knew that I was back in my chair. I was ready to go. She releases and, you know, wants to get her pets. The next thing she wants to do is go into the other room and get fed. But that's
exactly. Food is priority.
Food is a motivator. That's for sure. Let's talk about some other things. We talked about the value of a relationship. But again, it has to do with that closeness. And some people are not good with people, but are much better with animals. I think that's true. Let's talk about some other physical things. Your dog makes you less likely to get heart disease. Dog owners walk more, have lower blood pressure than people who don't have dogs. In fact, they say that petting a dog can actually reduce your blood pressure mm-hmm. by about 10%.
Right.
And it also can even help with cholesterol. They even said that it can reduce some of the triglycerides and things like that.
Yeah, it reduces the bad ones and
I never can remember which ones are the bad
right,
ones.
Right, me neither.
The good ones, you know. I always have to ask the doctor when I get my test, you know.
It also ups the survival rates after a heart attack. So if a person does have heart issues and has a heart attack, they are likelier to survive longer if they have a pet.
Right,
a dog.
And also, I've actually also heard statistics where dogs that go into hospitals and visit people in hospitals. Mm-hmm. This is kind of that therapy dog area that people have shorter hospital stays.
That is true, too.
Yeah, we talked about the heart attacks. Also, there are stress soother. Petting your cat or dog feels good. And it also soothes your pet. The pets need that kind of support. I know both of my dogs just love to get petted. And, you know, and now that I've got a retired service dog and a new service dog, I wind up petting on both sides of my wheelchair at the same time.
It's good you have two hands.
Yeah, that's right. Another thing is that dogs tend to be social magnets. Pets, especially dogs, can help you connect with other people. If I saw you walking down the street, I couldn't comfortably necessarily start talking to you if I didn't know you, but I could if you had a dog. That dog is that connection. It's an acceptable interaction that otherwise wouldn't be possible. And I've noticed this since I use a wheelchair, since people who use wheelchairs say that other people make eye contact with them more and often and ask if they can be of help when they're with their dogs or if they can do anything. And I tend to be pretty extroverted. If I see somebody walking down a long path, I tend to say hello, mm-hmm. I want to say this very, very qualified. You know, there's things, you know, I'm 72. And there are things in our lives that we said that if we could ever, you know, do them again or make a change. When I was in college and I was trying to meet women, I wish I had had a dog with me all the time.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because, I have a friends that walk their dogs. And you have to have a cute dog. Pretty much any dog will work. But you really, you know, you got to have a cute dog. But I've just seen that be kind of the icebreaker. And it's almost kind of, it's an appropriate icebreaker. You know, you're talking about something that you have in common.
And when I've traveled in foreign countries and I am missing my dogs terribly, if there's a dog with the person in the street, I will go and ask if I can pet the dog. And it opens a conversation with someone. It's a wonderful icebreaker.
Yeah. And I think that or people will tell me, gee, I've lost it. You know, I had a dog and I lost the dog. And they'll tell you the whole story. And it, even at that time, you realize just how.
While they're stroking your dog.
Yes. Yes. That's right. They say that persons who have pets are generally happier, more trusting, and less likely than those who don't have pets. They also visit the doctor less and less often for minor problems. You were going to say something, Jenna?
Oh, I was just going to say that, it does put people in a better mood. There are some studies that say in pediatric cancer that it motivates the kids more to do their treatment protocol because there's a dog helping them along through the process.
And it's probably also a distraction from, mm-hmm. you know, getting an IV or something like that.
Right.
This is my only one political comment during this whole half hour segment. But I think after watching the presidential debate last night, they should have had 10 dogs for each person in the debate. Also, I think that this is really interesting, is that they say there is a benefit or a baby's immune system. Babies raised in families that have pets may be less likely to get allergies and asthma. And I think that all has to do with, you know,
desensitizing.
Desensitizing. Mm-hmm. I've read things about that, you know, in some respects, our atmosphere is almost too sterile,
clean.
And that's why I regularly drink out of the dog dish. No, that's not.
And play in the dirt.
Yeah, they play in the dirt. Yes. It says it has to start early, ideally before a baby is 6 months old. Hmm. And of course, even at that time, that's when if the child is breastfeeding, they get a lot of that immune system from their mother. Mm-hmm. Babies with dogs or cats at home have fewer colds and ear infections during their first year than babies living in pet-free homes. And I think all of us remember that, what was it, amoxicillin that our kids got for ear infections. I remember that was the one. Right. And it was the most awful bubblegum flavor. Pink stuff.
Yes.
Yes. Another thing is, and we're going to have someone coming and talking in one of the upcoming sessions on social support for children who are on the autism spectrum. Kids tend to relate better to their classmates who have autism when pets are in the classroom. And this was done by a researcher named Beck. He said animals change the classroom environment and help to integrate those who are a little less typical. And again, you know, really what we're talking about is, what we're talking about is, again, that connection. You know, the dog is that connection in with the kids in class.
And also with autistic kids, having a dog in the family is a huge help. They help with socialization skills. They help with interpersonal relationships. They really are beneficial for autistic kids.
Another thing is that, and you mentioned this too, about us sedentary senior citizens, that that dogs, in fact, I think I mentioned to you this morning, when we came in is that health experts recommend that adults get about 2 hours and 30 minutes worth of moderate exercise per week. And dog owners are way more likely to hit that goal than people that don't have dogs. And of course, the reason is you're walking your dog. And I think the statement that I made this morning was, you know, my Maya is, she loves to chase balls. And so it's not so much that she gets tired of chasing balls, it's my arm gets tired of throwing the balls. So, you know, so I'm getting, and my wife even told me this morning that you're not at your computer all the time anymore. You know, I always tell you to get up and move and, you know, stretch. And I'm doing that with Maya. So I can really see that, that's really important. Even if you walk around the block, even if you take the dog outside for a while. Also, I thought this was interesting. I've said, if you want to drop a few pounds, grab Fido and get hoofing. Research has repeatedly found that daily dog walks help you lose weight since they force you to moderate physical activity. We also talked about your social life and that. And just the reduction of stress. There's a reason that therapy dogs are so effective. Spending just a few minutes with a pet can lower that anxiety and blood pressure that we mentioned before. And just calming a person to well-being. You know, I notice sometimes I get up in the morning and I could kind of got my list of 20 things to do and I get all panicked about it. 9 times out of 10, I can get them done in about an hour. But sometimes just when the dog comes up to me, it's like the dog saying, "Hey, mellow out a little bit, dude," you know, and pet me for a while. And you really do feel better.
The other thing that dogs do is they're usually very happy and they do funny things and they make you laugh and they make you smile. And I can't tell you how many times I've been walking down the street with a dog and the dog's happy, wagging the tail, head up, tongue out, big smile, and people will smile just going by. This happens in the airport all the time when I have my therapy dog, and they may not stop to pet the dog, but there's always a smile. They acknowledge the animal.
And I asked my trainer with Maya, sometimes she just gets on her back and just wiggles and wiggles and wiggles all around. And I said, I told the trainer, I said, I've checked her. She doesn't have fleas. I said, what's going on? She's just playing. You know, she's a pup.
It's just sheer exuberance.
She's just trying to be cute. Right. Yeah. And I just think that that's so important. Also, with, again, and I, you know, to bring it to present, with COVID, we know that there's an increase in depression. We know that because people are inside all the time. We know that there's more spousal abuse. We know that there's more drinking.
Stress on relationships.
And again, I think that that's something that a dog, you know, the soothing qualities of a dog can also really help.
It's another presence in your life when you are feeling isolated as well.
And I think a lot of times when I've worked with people in with my social work background that are depressed, one of the things that occurs is that people get depressed and the snowball kind of keeps get rolling down the hill and it gets worse and worse. And so when I was working with people that like in that situation, I would say, you need to get out and do something, go out and walk around. If you just walk around the yard, walk around the yard. But again, people that have a dog generally will feed the dog, take care of the dog. That's activities that you have to do on a regular basis. And I think that that's really important also. One of the things that I do want to mention towards the end of the impression or the end of the session here is that one of the things, and I just want to kind of have a cautionary word about dogs. I think that we've talked about temperament of dogs, and that's really important. But one of the things, if persons are elderly, are prone to falling, some of those kinds of things, it is important to have dogs that are attuned to those persons. Right now, there was a study that was put out by the Center for Disease Control, and just over 86,000 falls per year are caused by pets. And that's 88% by dogs. And a dog, if you get a dog, and that's also the important thing is the size. Maya is pretty close to 80 pounds. If she really jumps up on a person, she could knock them over. So again, that's just an important thing to consider is the when working with dogs and people is their mobility and you know, just to take some steps to reduce the danger of falls. Jenna, do you have any other things, any cautionary things that you would?
I was just looking at some other things, and on a better note for elderly people, they visit the doctor 30% less than people that don't have dogs. So, you know, you kind of have to balance it out. But it also answers the question, Steve, of why so many older people get smaller dogs.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would certainly much rather go to petting my dog rather than go to the doctor. I've done my time with doctors and I'm through with that. So I guess in closing here, we've got, we really want to kind of reiterate a few things, and that would be that number one, you have the dog, it makes you a better person. It makes you a person who is more mentally, healthy, and, it's going to just really increase the quality of your life. And I've seen that with so many people, and elderly people, again, that don't get out as much and don't get out as much with because of COVID, that having that dog there is really important. And I also think that it's important that you, like I mentioned, that you have a dog that really is attuned to you. I mean, what kinds of things would you look for? Temperament? Would you look for?
You know,
you mentioned size, and that's critical. Yeah.
When I was younger, I would have said, I want to get the most active puppy in the litter. I want a dog that's really peppy and perky. And I've changed my mind about that. I now want a dog with a calm temperament, one that's trainable, wants to work with me. I think it's wonderful to have a puppy grow up with your kids because they get to learn about training a dog. They get to learn how to take care of an animal, how to be respectful, and how to treat an animal. It helps them learn empathy and learn how to treat other people.
Yes, and I think, you know, my kids both had dogs when they were younger, and it really taught them a lot, I think, also about responsibility and having someone else that relied on them. And I think that, you know, shows through in how they operate their lives today. Mm-hmm. You know, they saw also how my dog worked around their grandma. And they always wanted to, I had a basset hound. They always wanted to take Sam, the basset hound, to see grandma at the care center.
Oh.
So I'm always going to have a dog, I suppose, until I pass away. But they're great. And with that, let's look forward to the upcoming shows. We hope to do another one. We hope to do more with personal stories. We're also going to talk about another type of dog in the upcoming shows, about a dog called an anchor dog. And an anchor dog is a dog that is used with persons who are autistic children, primarily, who tend to get scared and would run away from authority, run away from their parents, run away from teachers. And so the anchor dogs are essentially Newfoundlands, or very, very large dogs, probably 150 pounds. And what they do is the child is actually tethered or has a leash that's attached to him. And if the child takes off, then we know that what the dog is trained to do is the dog just sits down. And it's pretty hard for a 80-pound kid to pull a 150-pound Newfie out in the street. One of the things we'll also get to in the future sessions is talking about dogs that have the sense of smell and can smell things. Like, there's even a study being done right now in Helsinki that's saying that dogs can smell COVID in the airport, people who have been exposed. So with that, I think we'll close out. I'd really like to thank Jenna for being here. So thank you very much, Jenna. I appreciate you being here.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.